Hello, and welcome along to the Retro Asylum. This is episode 261. I have hardly any voice at all, and I'm here with Chris. And this is actually a gaming episode, so rejoice, fellow gamers. Gaming is back in form here. Say hello, gaming Chris.
Gaming is back on Retro Asylum. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought it?
Who would have thought it, yeah.
The kids have been playing without us, Mads.
Doing some brilliant 80s episodes. I really enjoyed those. Even though, being non-British, a lot of the references, especially the commercials, I didn't get any of the references there. But I still enjoyed a lot of the other stuff, the movies, the music, toys, all of that.
Yeah, it's had some great feedback, hasn't it?
Oh yeah. It's gone down well.
Various causes. I've only listened to snippets of the first one so far, and I'm waiting for that solid block where I can sit down and actually just listen to it in pretty much one go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I need to go for a long walk or something so I can just get through it. But I'm really, that's right up my, I mean, to be honest, I mean, my jam is probably more early 90s than the 80s, but there's going to be loads in there that I recognise. So good work to... Yeah. The gentleman.
So my only gripe with it was the complete lack of hard rock and metal and the music that they talked about, because 80s is probably 70s and 80s, those are the two decades I listen to mostly when I listen to my old metal and hard rock. There's so much good stuff there. So many good songs.
Were you listening to metal though back in the 80s? Is that what you liked as a kid?
Yeah, back in.
It was
in the end of the 80s, it was metal, definitely. Middle of the 80s, hard rock. Yeah.
Because you would have been, how old were you then? 1989, you would have been what? 13?
Yeah, would have been.
Okay. No, by that time, I suppose you are. Your tastes are starting to form, aren't they, I suppose?
Yeah, well.
Very good work. I didn't ever think gaming would be seen again, though, on RA. I was starting to get a little bit worried.
Yeah, me too.
But it's nice to have something a bit different. You know, there's not of all the retro podcasts, there's not many people doing that kind of nostalgia stuff away from gaming. There's so much to talk about. Such a rich well of stuff.
Yeah, we are called just the Retro Asylum, so retro can be anything, can't it?
Retro anything.
Yeah.
So how have you been otherwise, other than having a stinking cold?
I've been fine, mate. I've been fine. Having had two stinking colds now, just finishing the second one, I hope. So, yeah. I blame Corona, really, because I have three kids, and normally they'd be getting all kinds of different germs to my house, and I'll have, like, half a day of a sore throat or something along those lines. I'll never actually get a cold. But my immune system hasn't been activated in a year and a half, so now that I've... apparently run into two different persons with two different strains of the common cold. I've been completely wasted for 2 weeks almost.
The irony is that if you got COVID as someone who's double vaccinated, you'd probably be absolutely fine and feeling a lot better than you would be now.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You know, I tend not to get colds, but I get, when I do get them, I get them very rarely. But when I do get them, like good for absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Bedridden. But I see you sent a lovely picture of yourself earlier, flaked out on the sofa with your little addition next to you.
Oh, yeah, we got a new puppy. So
he's very cute.
Yeah, cute little thing. And he's named after Motorhead's lead singer, of course, Lemmy.
But you should have called him Lozzy. Combination of Lemmy and Ozzy.
Yeah, that's right. Lemmy or Ozzy was the choices that the kids were given, so Lemmy it is.
Lemmy, very cute, mate, very cute. And you've been enjoying Xenogears?
Yeah, I have, actually. I've had too little time to play it. I'm only like 16, 17 hours in. I just got to D-Block. But we'll get to that in the next episode, I'm sure. So you say there's lots and lots of battling in my future.
You don't know what battling is yet.
No. No. Probably not.
No, there's a different form of battling. So you for those who have played it and are anxiously awaiting our Xenogears episode, it's coming next week. You've got to Nortune. And for anyone who's played it at least up to that part will know that in Nortune you go to the battling arena and you play a one-on-one fighter.
Really?
And it's absolutely terrible.
It doesn't sound good.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's really awful. Yeah, they were inspired by Street Fighter 2. One of the scenario designers was obsessed with Street Fighter 2.
The champ and was looks like Blanka.
Obviously, yeah. And he was desperate to get some kind of fighting mini game into the game, and he did.
Yeah, sure.
And the world was worse off.
Are there any mini games in RPGs and JRPGs ever that were actually good? I mean, I remember the mini games in Final Fantasy VII. They were definitely not the highlight of the game.
No. They're absolutely terrible as well. Mm. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. There is, in Final Fantasy XV, the fishing game is reasonably good.
A fishing game. Okay.
Yeah, there's a fishing mini game in Final Fantasy XV. And there is a cooking mini game as well, which is pretty decent. But even in Final Fantasy VII Remake, the minigames are, the ones in part one anyway, are pretty bad.
Okay.
Squats and pull-ups. Yeah. Yeah, it's not where you want to spend your time.
Nope. So how about you, Rick? What have you been up to?
More on Xenogears to come. Yeah, I'm good. So I played 60 hours of Xenogears over the last couple of months, which was great, and really pleased to get through that. I still love it. I love it just as much as I did, and I'm looking forward to really getting into it next week. On Sunday, I went to the Royal Albert Hall in London and went to watch the Final Fantasy VII Remake Orchestra concert, which was magical, just magical. You know, I've listened to those Final Fantasy VII tracks for 20-odd years now. And although they didn't play any of the old tracks, it was an orchestrated concert of the Final Fantasy VII Remake tracks. Obviously, a lot of those tracks that are in the remake were also in the original. So listening to things like Aerith's theme and Sephiroth's theme and the prelude and the opening bombing mission were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not embarrassed to say that I was moved to tears on a couple of occasions. Just Tifa's theme. Yeah, it's these tracks of, you know, they are the tracks of my years. They absolutely are. And even my wife, who's not a gamer at all, doesn't really have any interest in gaming or classical music or game music or any kind of geek culture, was, even she said, yeah, this is incredible. The just seeing a massive choir and an orchestra on stage. And Arnie Roth was the composer. Arnie Roth does a lot of these video game orchestration concerts. So even seeing him, he's a bit of a celebrity if you're into that kind of thing. It really was impressive. And I hope they do another one for part two.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Great.
So yeah, that was one of the highlights of my year for sure. Absolutely. And just today took delivery of a new PC.
Oh yeah, it's a beauty.
A Windows 98 PC, fully refurbished. It's absolutely immaculate. I'm very pleased with it.
Mm.
Even though it won't accept my wireless keyboard and mouse, so I can't use it.
Of course not.
Which is a damn shame.
Mm. So actually, I have a wireless mouse for PS2, if you want it.
Yeah, I did see that on... I've seen one on Amazon, actually, that you could get one. Mm. Do they work?
Yeah, which is fine. But it's still it's a ball mouse, right? So old school mouse, but with a wireless dongle in it that you put, I think, two AA batteries in.
Yeah. Mm. And it works okay?
Yeah, which is fine.
Okay.
It's a Logitech one with three. It was before mouse wheels, so it's got three buttons instead.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah, they're classics. Mm. So this one, hopefully will do the trick. It's only a cheap one, but I might upgrade at some point. But I'm doing this in readiness for Fallout 2.
Mm.
So listeners will remember earlier this year I guested on the Retrospectives podcast and we covered Fallout, and part of that crossover arrangement was that later in the year they would guest on RA and we would do Fallout 2, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Hopefully towards the end of October. It's a longer game, Fallout 2, than Fallout, so it may well slip into November. But that I really wanted to play that on real hardware, so that's what I'm going to do.
Sounds good, mate.
And for those, I want to give a shout out to the seller. So it was just a completely random eBay purchase, but I got chatting to the seller who refurbishes old PCs. So he collects PC components and towers and he builds up these PCs. He's got a YouTube channel called Mad Robot Restorations. Check him out. Really lovely guy called Christian. There's actually one of his videos is actually the refurbishment of the computer that I've just bought, which is pretty cool to see. And he's been dangling all kinds of carrots in front of me, the naughty boy, telling me that he's refurbishing currently a 486.
You got to drop us a link to that video of the restoration of your machine on Discord.
Yeah, we'll do. Mm,
love to see that.
I will do, yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's a beauty. Cool. And as we just talked about off air, the cabinet looks just like mine. I have an older Dell model that's a Pentium 75. So it's for me, it's just a Dodge machine. But it still looks the same.
Yeah. Pentium 75 was Windows 95, wasn't it? Is yours just DOS?
You could definitely run Windows, but yeah, Windows 95 would run fine on that, yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm really pleased with this. The 90s PC gaming is really where my PC gaming nostalgia is. So I'm really looking forward to playing some of the old classics.
I'd like to get my hands on. I have my Pentium 75, which is perfect for the DOS stuff. It has the old Sound Blaster card and everything, so it's just everything just works for DOS. I'd love to get my hands on a Pentium 200 MMX, because that's the sweet spot for me for Windows 95 gaming. A 200 MMX with a Voodoo, maybe even a Voodoo 2 card. That'd be great.
Yeah. So some vintage 94, 95.
Yeah.
Beauty. Absolute beauty. So I'm really looking forward to Fallout 2 as a 1998 game, and my PC seems perfect for that. It's the kind of spec that I wanted. So I'm so looking forward. The only thing I need now I haven't got is a CRT monitor.
Mm.
So I need to pick up. There's a couple, but they're just a little bit too far on eBay. So at the moment, I've got a kind of 4:3 LCD horrible thing, which I just nicked from my workplace when they were throwing them all out. And so I need a CRT monitor. So that is going to be, I'm going to be scouring eBay regularly for that.
Yeah.
Very pleased with it. Very pleased with it indeed. We need to think about October, Mads.
We do.
That's why we're here.
Yeah. And we've got a special theme lined up.
Yeah.
So some might even say that this is not retro gaming, but I guess you and I agree that this is retro gaming.
Oh, please, let's not get into what's retro and what isn't. It's old gaming.
It is. It is indeed.
If you were 20, it's retro.
Yeah, that's right. If you're 20, then it was released before you were born.
It's true. So these games, this long list, were all picked by one of our good friends and listeners, Raushi.
Yeah.
One of our the absolute bedrocks of our Discord community, one of our big supporters. And we thought Raushi is an almanac of all gaming, historic, retro, modern, you name it. There's no game out there that Raushi hasn't played, I'm sure. I think he is like the Doctor Who of retro gaming, in that he warps space and time around him to give him infinite number of hours, because he's literally played everything. So we wanted to play some PS2 games. And we said to Raushi, can you give us a long list of PS2 games, which maybe not, they're maybe not obscure games, but they're maybe games that weren't the 9 or 10s out of 10.
Yeah.
They're not the multi-million sellers. They're games either that may have just slipped under the radar commercially or weren't critical darlings. So they're you know, the 7 or 8s out of 10s, the ones that didn't really sell as many as they should have. So, and that's what he's done.
Yeah, he's got us a great list here.
Hmm. Shall I start by just reading the list with some very basic details, year of release, publishers, developers, etc.?
Sure.
And you've done your homework, Mads, because you actually played them all, didn't you?
Yeah, all except one, actually, it turns out. I forgot one of them, but all of them. I fired them up because going into PS2 territory, I'd like to be sure that it was... you like to call it emulatable, and all of these are, so works.
So I'm going to read these 8 games, mate, and I'm going to tell the listener some basic details about them. So firstly, Rygar, The Legendary Adventure. So this is the first of a couple of remakes, reboots, reskins, another one in the series, whatever, sequels, whatever you want to call it. This was a game for the PS2, released, published by Tecmo, and developed by Tecmo in-house. It was released in November 2002, so reasonably early PS2 game. PS2 had been around for a couple of years by then, so kind of early to midlife. It was released all over the world, and it later got a Wii release as well, which I didn't know. I do remember it on the PS2. I may have even had a hooky copy of it at some point, but I can't remember ever playing it. I've not played it, but from what I've read, it's faithful to the spirit of the old Rygar games, maybe not to the style. Hack and slash, go around defeating enemies, move through levels, and it was reasonably well received at the time. So it was anywhere from a couple of outlets gave it strong reviews, a couple of outlets gave it bad reviews. So it was anywhere from 5 to 9, but critical consensus was around 7 to 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Didn't sell brilliantly for the publisher.
So firing this up, it gave me definitely gave me some God of War feelings. I've asked Raushi to just write me just a tiny snippet for every game, and you know Raushi, he doesn't do tiny snippets. So I'm going to read out some of his descriptions for the different games while we are going through them. So Rygar, he writes, a remarkable surprise on release. Rygar felt like a 3D modernization of the NES classic, and feels like more than a slight influence on the later God of War. Unfortunately, Tecmo dropped the ball on the Wii re-release, and the game had been surpassed by the likes of God of War 2. Still, I feel this would be a fun little adventure to revisit and see a great example of a classic franchise being rebooted for a modern platform during the era. And he's totally on the money there with it feeling like God of War, and this could definitely have been an influence on God of War. I booted it up. All of these games, you and I, we play mostly, well, at least I do play mostly older retro games. So whenever I boot up something that's PS2 or GameCube, I'm blown away by how beautiful it looks. I mean, it's just like getting a completely new computer that can do some crazy things. And all of these games that Raushi have chosen have brilliantly animated the intro sequences, Rygar as well. So, but the game itself looks really good. Controls quite smoothly. It is a 3D brawler or whatever you want to call that adventure.
Hack and slash.
Yeah, but looks like a fun game to play through. So definitely a contender.
Okay, nice. Mm. Yeah, nice. Next up is another reboot, sequel, reskin, whatever you like to call it. It's Maximo. Which is an entry in the Ghosts and Goblins series. So I couldn't quite see from the, Matt sent me a picture. Raushi quite nicely lined up. He's got all these games, of course, and he quite nicely lined up all the boxes. Now I think it was the original Maximo Ghost to Glory, not Army of Zin,
yes,
which was the Ghost sequel, which came out later. Okay, good. So that was the original PS2 game, which was followed by a sequel, published by Capcom and developed in house by Capcom, released all around the world between December 2001 and March 2002. So again, your reasonably early PS2 game. It was blooming hard. I had this and it was really, really difficult. And I, at that point, I hadn't spent much time with the original Ghosts and Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts, so was completely unprepared for how difficult this is.
Yeah.
Now that I have played many more older games, and probably much more challenging games, I wonder whether actually I wonder whether I would be more ready to tackle something which is quite difficult. It was voted one of the top 10 most challenging PS2 games of all time. I don't know how much of a what that says, because we're starting to move into the era of modern games and games not really being difficult as such. Mm. But it was really well reviewed, so it was kind of 7 and 8s across the board, occasional 9s. All the reviews are pretty consistent in that, yeah, great, but it does have some crazy difficult spikes, which just hold it back from greatness. But I've not watched any YouTube videos in preparation, but I remember this game looking really lovely, and the art style was beautiful. Did that hold up, Mads, when you tried it?
Yes, indeed. This is, of the games I played, this was the one where I fell in love with the art style. It's a bit cutesy art style, very colorful. This was the quintessential PS2 3D platformer for me. It looks, I mean, you know me, I love my Jak and Daxters and Ratchet and Clank and all of that. And this, while not as colorful as those, it's still in that vein, I think. So
yeah.
this looks right up my alley. I'd love to play this, actually. But
captures the spirit of the original, if I remember rightly, doesn't it? Really does. Yeah. That whole playful, cartoony, but blooming devilish difficulty.
Yeah, and it controls really smoothly, and it was a joy to play. I must say, I've only played all of these games like 10 minutes each just to check that the emulation worked. So I'm in no way an expert on them. These are Roushi's picks. But
soundtrack by our friend Tommy Tallarico as well.
Okay.
Shout out to Tommy.
Mm. So Roushi writes, this game is, for all intents and purposes, a 3D reboot of Ghosts and Goblins, with lengthy levels, terrific graphics, and a difficulty level that demands perseverance to overcome. It's been far too long since we've seen this franchise reemerge, and I thought it'd be a great option for the Ghosts and Goblins fans in the Discord team to lose hair to.
I love Roushi. We really appreciate you doing this, mate.
Yeah,
I know you've been listening to this, so much appreciated. Mm. Okay, so we got two contenders then so far, I think.
Yeah.
This is looking good. Next up, Transformers. The 2004 Transformers, also known in some regions as Transformers Armada, Prelude to Energon, which sounds so Transformers. I mean, they certainly nailed that kind of title.
Mm-hmm.
It was... Now, the interesting thing about this, so it was published by Atari, and it was developed by an in-house studio called Atari Melbourne House. Matt, it was developed by Beam Software.
Really?
One of the oldest, So at the time in 2004, I'm not sure whether Beam still exists somewhere within Atari or anywhere, but in 2004, they must have been one of the oldest studios still around.
Yeah.
1977, they were born, published games on many of the old micros.
Yeah.
But that, I didn't know that until just before we started recording, when I spotted it on Wikipedia, but that elevated this game from definitely one that would be an also-ran to one that actually did pique my interest just because of that. From what I've read in some of the reviews, it's a third-person action game, mission-based. You go through from level to level. It was reviewed. It was a bang. You know, it's good. It got good reviews. So sixes, sevens, eights. No, that's good. Out of ten, that is they're generally good reviews. It just didn't really do anything for me when I was reading the reviews, and I don't know whether that's just because I'm not really a Transformers fan or what, but how did it play?
So it plays just fine. It's a third-person shooter game, right? You run around, you blast stuff. I'm not a Transformers fan. I never understood, I think I've said this before, the whole Dolls for Boys thing with Transformers and He-Man and all of that.
You know Dean's going to be very cross with us, don't you?
I know. So the first thing I thought, I forget which Transformer I chose. The main one, what's he called?
Something. Optimus Prime.
Yes, Optimus Prime, something stupid. So he was running around and he had like wheels sitting on the sides of his legs, and it just looks stupid.
Right.
And then he could actually jump, and it was now. But the game itself was quite all right, actually. Controlled really well. The jumping was a bit hard to control, but I'm guessing you get used to that very, very quickly. And it looked like a good third-person shooter mission-based game. But let's just hear from Roushi. So Roushi says it's based on the Armada, Cybertron, Energon series and not the later film of the same name. Transformers is a free-roaming third-person shooter with expansive levels and, oddly enough, ragdoll physics. There's some frustrating challenge spikes, but it's still a woefully underappreciated gem of the era in a franchise that definitely has seen more downs than ups.
Mm.
Yeah, it does look like an enjoyable game, but yeah, I think we can hear where this is going already. Transformers really doesn't do anything for me.
No, the audience is probably wrong with us too, isn't it?
Mm.
Perhaps. Okay, moving on then.
Yep.
So the next game is one that I'd never heard of. So this one is called The Sword of Etheria, and it was developed and published by Konami in 2005 in Japan and 2006 in Europe. So very late PS2 game. It was actually made, a lot of the team had worked on Castlevania games. So Aria of Sorrow was, I think, the director, the guy who directed this also directed Aria of Sorrow, I think, and shares a composer as well, Michiru Yamane, of course. So it's got some good credentials, and it's the CV of these people who worked on it looks really good. Again, Rashi likes his hack and slashes. It looks like, from what I've read, it appears to be a hack and slash game. The one thing I remember about the PS2, well, I don't remember, I see it because I play a reasonable amount of PS2 games. The games were really brown. A lot of the games were... That's why games like Maximo and Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank really stood out, because they were colourful. But so many PS2 games were just brown, yellow and brown. This game is brown. From the screenshots I've seen, it looks really just bland. And that was the impression I got from the reviews, was it's just really bland and distinctly average. Although I was intrigued, because the guy who wrote the review for Eurogamer back in the day, Simon Parkin, called the translation of the European release disastrous. Now that sounds amusing, because I wonder what they've done.
Mm.
But anyway, it did look... I mean, how did you find it when you tried it?
It was just yet another hack and slash. I started this straight after playing Rygar, and Rygar felt and looked better. So I didn't play this for very long. It had some, again, some beautiful intro sequences, and it looks like it could be good fun. It's a yet another hack and slash, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you're right about the graphics. It didn't grab me like Maximo or Rygar, for that matter.
No, given that this was a really late PS2 game as well, it doesn't look good.
Let's see, Rousey writes, this little-known dramatic action game from Konami was never released in the US, but fortunately, PAL gamers were able to get their hands on it thanks to Konami really treating the region with love during the generation. Developed by members responsible for Suikoden, and Castlevania, as contemporary of games like, Bujinkai? And Devil May Cry, Sword of Etheria leaned hard into a well-developed combo system that's almost mandatory to master in order to get the most out of the game.
He makes it sound at least interesting.
Oh yeah. I mean, none of these games looked bad when I was playing them, so I could play any of these.
Well, he's got good taste, so I'd be surprised if they were stinkers.
Yeah.
Just doesn't do anything to grab me. This, none of the gameplay features make me think, "Ooh, that sounds interesting."
But we're not whittling down the list yet, mate.
No, we're not. No, you're quite right. Okay, let's move on then.
Yes.
So this next one is interesting. So the next one is Rule of Rose, which is a survival horror game that fit in for October, perhaps.
Yes.
Which was developed by Punchline and published by Sony in Japan, Atlas in the North, in North America, and 505 Games in Europe. Again, pretty late game, 2006. Now, this was one of those, for people in the UK, the Daily Mail were all over this. So this was outrageous. This was full of barbarous content, terrible, immoral storyline, and obscenely graphic gameplay and imagery. Now, at the moment for playthrough, we're playing Until Dawn, which, if anything, Until Porn. If anything is worse than that for immoral content, I'd eat my hat. So I suspect if we were to play this, we would not be outraged and would probably think it was pretty tame, given what's come since. But back in 2006,
I don't think so. I was looking at the intro. I mean, tame, maybe tame in not as outrageous, but it's spooky. I mean, the intro scared me more than the first 2 hours of Until Dawn. No problem at all. So, this was some spooky shit going down. There was, something is always wrong when you get kids, maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, who look deranged, and they're running around with knives, and there's just something so spooky about that that whole thing that many horror movies work on. So this intro was, this looks like a really spooky game.
Interesting. Okay. It wasn't ever banned, I don't think, but I think it got limited distribution because of the controversy, which means now it's one of the most expensive PS2 games to buy. Originally, it goes for hundreds of pounds.
It was quite bloody and really unsettling. So, and that's just from the first 10 minutes I looked at and played a bit of.
the reviews are, I mean, for those who managed to dive beneath the controversy, actually the reviews were pretty terrible.
Okay.
So Edge gave it 3 out of 10, IGN 4.9, GameSpot 6. It didn't get well received at even in Japan. It was 28 out of 40 in Famitsu. So what does Roushi think of it?
So he says, look, I'm going to level with you here. I never much cared for this game. It has a pretty diehard fan base who adore its style and is more widely known as one of the most expensive retail releases in the PAL and NTSC regions. Mm-hmm. With Halloween just around the corner, perhaps a little survival horror is just what the doctor ordered. I was torn between recommending this and Haunting Ground, and I leaned toward Rule of Rose because of its almost literal cult-like following.
Hmm. Mm. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, pretty much what I expected.
Yeah.
Can you believe it was a year ago we played Silent Hill?
Mm, yeah.
Man, where has that time gone?
That was a good game, though.
Yeah, really good game. Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay then, moving on from Rule of Rose, the next one of my favourites on this list, is Contra, Shattered Soldier. Now, this was a game that was developed and published by Konami, released in late 2002, early 2003, depending on what region you were in. And sadly, very sadly, it's not a game that I've ever played. I was aware of it back in the day, but I'd never played it. But from just doing a little bit of reading of a couple of reviews in preparation for this, this looks pretty good. So this, from what I've seen, is a what you would really hope to see when one of the great 8-bit games gets rebooted, in that, similar to what they did with Strider, they have kept fundamentally the gameplay, it seems, of Contra. It's got that, you know, like the modern Strider game, it's got that kind of 2.5D, 3D perspective.
Yeah.
But the gameplay is fully on a 2D plane. So it really, from what I've read, it really does seem to stick to the formula for the original Contra. It seems that it's really difficult, which I suppose is what you'd expect if it was going to stick with the spirit of it. But man, this does look interesting.
Yeah, and this is the one game that I, for some reason, forgot to try. So I haven't tried this myself. But it looks really good. I checked out some videos on YouTube, and this, it looks great. Just, you describe it really well. It's just a 2.5D reimagining of the old Contra games, really.
And which just segueing there from, we missed a really nice segue from Silent Hill, because the composer is Akira Yamaoka.
Oh, okay.
Who did the soundtrack for Silent Hill as well. So, yeah, some really, really good chops there. Oh man, this looks good.
Mm, okay, so listen to me trying to read Roushi's description of Contra Shattered Soldier without coughing. Let's see. Konami was fighting an uphill battle in order to get the goodwill of gamers back after farming the series out to Appaloosa on the PS1 and Saturn. Thankfully, it was a true return to form and one of the finest entries in the series. The difficulty level is quite high, but I think it'll be fun for the team on Discord to work out each of the levels together. Sounds really good.
Mm. Yeah, it does. Really good. Yeah. Come back to that, I'm sure. Next up, the penultimate game on this list is a game that I know very well.
Yeah.
So the name of this game changes depending on where you are in the world. So I know this game as Everybody's Golf 4.
Okay.
No, I know the game is Everybody's Golf. Yeah, Everybody's Golf, it was called in PAL regions. Mm. In Japan, it was called Everybody's Golf 4. And in the US, it was called Hot Shots Golf 4. F-O-R-E, mm. 4.
Yep.
See what they did?
I see what they did.
I love this game. Mm. So I played this a lot back in the day with mates. It's very, very Japanese. Large, big, animated characters, cartoony courses, which are arcadey, but actually not wacky. They're not wacky courses, but they are, you know, they're courses that you'd never see in real life, but they're not completely outrageous so as to make it not fun. It's a really nice arcade golf game. I really, really enjoyed it. And apparently in North America as well, it was online. I don't think it was in the PAL regions. Could be wrong about that. Yeah, I'm just trying to scan down here. Well, was it anyway in North America? My reservation with this, and it's really, really playable. It's really good fun. My reservation is, how much fun would it be for a month mainly playing a single player?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That's my reservation. But it is so much fun. And whether or not this gets played, if you're a fan of arcade sports games and or golf games, give this a go because it is an absolute blast.
Yeah. So the only golf game, well, apart from Wii Golf, which I played a lot when I got my Wii, but the only golf game I remember playing is Lynx back in the day.
Very different to that, mate. Mm,
yeah. Yeah. So Rousey writes, "We don't do sports often enough in a game club, and it's tough to get people excited about any golf game that isn't Neo Turf Masters. But Hot Shots is a series that's been straight fire throughout its whole run. Unfortunately, yeah, the multiplayer servers no longer function for us to go head-to-head, but the diverse range of courses and content make this game a must-play at some point for anyone exploring the PS2 library."
Yeah, I completely agree with that, completely. And I just, you know, you just wonder whether... Yeah, whether we might be able to do something through RetroArch's NetPlay, I don't know.
If we were able to do that, I'm sure Rousey would know and tell us.
I'm sure. Yeah, but yeah, it's in some ways it's a shame that there isn't. We can't because if we could play this version online, if we could get it working, it would be such good fun to get a group of us playing a round of this. Mm. Really good. Anyway, final game is Way of the Samurai. Mm. It's known as in Japan as Samurai, and it was developed by Acquire, published by Spike in Japan, BAM Entertainment in North America, and in Europe by Eidos. It's a game I know and knew nothing about. It was released in 2002, across 2002 in all the various territories. I really did know nothing about this before it was mentioned by Rousey. I've read a couple of reviews. This really is obscure to me because I couldn't even see that it was really reviewed by many outlets. Famitsu liked it in Japan. The Western reviewers kind of liked it. 7.5 out of 10 kind of thing. Mm. It looks like another hack and slash game from what I've read.
So this is more of an adventure
beat
game.
Beat 'em up? Really. Or is it more of an adventure game? Okay.
Yeah, interesting. I only played it for... I think I actually stuck with that a little bit longer because it interested me. So,
did you play Onimusha by Capcom?
No.
Back in the day? No. Okay. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that, the way it looks. Mm.
So Rauchi really writes, "A 3D samurai action game that leans harder into adventure than action and draws more than a little inspiration from classic films such as Yojimbo. The plot can branch off in multiple different ways depending on the choices you make throughout the game, leading to 6 distinct endings. An individual playthrough is rather short, but with the amount of variation based on decisions made by the player, I think it would be fun to compare how our stories turned out."
Well, it spawned a whole series of these games. It was 4 Way of the Samurai games in the end.
Yeah.
Well, I'm more interested in it now, having listened to Rousey's description.
Looks wise, it had really beautiful intro sequences, but the game itself, we're into the brown territory, as you said. Yeah. The other stuff as well, but it still looks good. And I'm thinking, I played it for 15 minutes, maybe 20, because it intrigued me a bit. And I mean, the story itself seems intriguing, so there might be something there.
Do you like samurais generally? Are you a samurai?
I like some of the old classic samurai movies. I haven't seen them in 20 years, but I saw them back in the day. So yeah, I do.
Yeah. Mm. Well, maybe this one is more interesting than I initially thought. Mm. It's got really nice cover art in North America anyway, looking on this Wikipedia page like that.
Yeah. So those were all the games, mate. Mm. Rousey has this small disclaimer. He says, "I'm running off of rose-tinted memories here, so there's a non-zero chance that half of them are pure crap."
Well, look, we're on Retro Asylum. That's what we do.
Yes. Sometimes we even play Theme Radiator installer, for example.
Yeah, but mate, that's a classic, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I guess.
That's Theme Hospital for those that aren't familiar with Mads's barbs. Mm. Bitter man.
Yes, I am a bitter man these days.
You know, I only noticed the other day that on our Discord, the name of the Game Club channel was still Theme Hospital. I did contemplate just leaving it there just for posterity, but I did change it.
Okay.
I changed it to Xenogears a week before the end of the Xenogears period. Okay. Never mind. So we've got 8 games.
Yep. So let's
we need to get rid of 4 of them
among ourselves. See who gets to choose 4 games.
Do you want to have a crack at picking one then?
So let's pick one off the list, or do you want to pick some to include? How do you want to go with this?
Oh, should we eliminate?
Yeah, that's how we usually do, isn't it?
Okay, I've forgotten. It's been so long.
Yeah, it has. Okay, let me have a think. Yeah. So I think one that is fairly easy for me to pick off is probably Transformers. Because, I mean, it looked okay. It was, for me, running around, jumping in and trying to shoot stuff, it was just another third-person shooter. And Transformers really doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I might as well play a Barbie game, so.
I'm not sure it's quite that bad, but yeah, I...
just teasing, mate. Just teasing Dean, really, so.
Dean will get his Optimus Prime figure out, and he'll start attacking you with it. I agree. Of all the games on this list, and it actually is a pretty strong list, of all the games, that one looked definitely... I think there are two that don't look very interesting, and that was definitely one of them. The other one, despite the interesting people who worked on it, and especially a soundtrack by Michiru Yamane, which would always be interesting to me, I can't get excited about Sword of Etheria.
Okay.
It's a terrible name, and the brown screenshots just doesn't do anything for me at all. So that one felt like a pretty easy elimination for me.
Okay, fair enough. So already now it's getting hard. We've got 6 candidates left, and I can see myself playing any of these. So instead of eliminating, I need to just have a brief look to see which ones I really want to stay in there. Wow, this is hard. I think perhaps that's purely for selfish reasons. Rule of Rose, I mean, even though it is October and some survival horror would be good, you said it had quite bad reception, quite bad reviews. And I'm playing Until Porn on playthrough. So I'm in the bone zone all the time anyway. So this I don't think I need Rule of Rose in my life for October.
I think that's sensible.
Yeah. And for our listeners, if you want to know about the bone zone, just play Until Dawn. The number of what do you call that, sexual innuendo in the first hour, I mean, it had to be at least 20 times somebody either alluded to that they were going to have sex in a minute, or just straight out saying out,
blatantly come out and said
oh man,
I don't want to spoil that. I don't want to spoil Until Dawn, but how far are you into it?
I played the first 2 chapters and just started the 3rd one.
Okay. So there's a moment in the 3rd one where everyone's favorite character, Jessica, goes outside of a building and screams into the air, "We are going to have sex."
Yes. Well, she's
like, really? Are you know, did we not already figure that out from the previous 2 hours when it's all you've talked about, literally?
I hope my Jessica dies really soon. I mean, you can ask my daughter. I was playing it with her. The last 10, 15 minutes I was playing episode 2, I was just sitting there going, I really hope she gets slashed really, really soon, because I'm so tired of hearing her talk about probably going to have sex in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting one. That
the writing is so bad, but I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes.
And it's got a professional writer as well. Is it Larry Fassenden who wrote the script? Who is film writer and
of really bad porn strange movies? Or
no?
Okay,
no. We'll talk more about this on playthrough. Yep. If you want to hear us talk more about Until Porn, come and listen to us on playthrough. Yep. Where it's going to be an interesting one. There's a storm brewing here. I said this on our Discord. There's a storm brewing over Until Dawn. I can see it. It's coming. It's heading this way. Right. Anyway, back to the good stuff.
Yes.
So this is difficult for me now. So what's left? So we got Rygar, Maximo, Contra, Everybody's Golf, and Way of the Samurai.
Yeah.
Wow. So 10 minutes ago, if you'd have put me in this position, I would have been saying, well, this is easy because the Way of the Samurai goes. But actually, I'm really intrigued by that now, having listened to what Roushi said.
Yeah.
Roushi is also absolutely spot on. we don't have enough sports games in the game club.
Yeah, that's true.
And a couple of times we have done, it's actually been really good fun.
Yeah, we loved doing California games years ago. That was great fun.
720 in California games. So whenever we have, it has been fun. And I'm pretty sure we could make everybody's golf work by having high score competitions on who's got the fewest number of shots around the course, etc. So I think we probably could make it work. So I am going to keep on, and also just to mix it up, because these four otherwise would be reasonably similar. So I am going to keep everybody's golf on the shortlist.
Okay.
So that means I need to take one out of Rygar, Maximo, Contra, and Way of the Samurai. So Maximo was a game I'm familiar with and really enjoyed back in the day. I'd love to spend a bit more time and actually try and get good enough to get through it. Contra was a game I would have loved to have played back in the day, but never did, and now haven't seen it. That one feels like it's a certainty. Way of the Samurai feels like an underdog's choice, which, you know, up against Maximo Contra, probably won't get picked anyway. Do you know what? I'm going to give the underdog a chance. I'm going to lose Rygar.
Really? Okay.
And I'm sure Rygar would be very good, but I wasn't overly taken by the reviews that I read, all the brown screenshots.
Okay.
So I'm going to lose Rygar. So the four games going forward to the shortlist, which will be live probably by the time you're listening to this.
Yes.
Is Maximo, Ghost to Glory. Ghost to Glory. Contra Shattered Soldier. Everybody's Golf. Hot Shots Golf. It depends on where you are. Okay. Everybody's Golf 4. I might just do a mashup of all of the names when we put the shortlist up. And Way of the Samurai. Mm.
It's a strong list, mate. Surprise. I mean, I'd like to play, all of these, really. I have to say, Hotshots Golf or Everybody's Golf probably isn't really my cup of tea, but if it wins, no. I'll gladly try to play some golf games. But, man, I would love to play Maximo. That's probably the one on this list that's I'm most interested in. I haven't played it, and it looks like the perfect PS2 game for me. And I love the fact that you said it was actually also difficult. So they did have that in there as well. Now that it's a Ghosts and Goblins game. So that or Contra would be my main choices here.
What do you think will win? What's the name that you think will jump out to people?
Contra.
I think it'll be Contra as well. And to be honest, if it is, great.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That looks absolutely awesome, and I think it'll be great. I think it'll be a really good one to play together in Discord. Yeah. I'd love to see Way of the Samurai give it a good go.
Yeah, because
I mean that it is the underdog game, and it's one which of all of these games I would never of these four would never have gone near Way of the Samurai if it hadn't have been Varouchi's description, but. I suspect Maximo and Contra will pull in most votes, but we'll see.
Yeah, be interesting.
We'll see. Yeah. So, mate, that's it?
That's it.
October's on the horizon.
Yes.
Isn't it? So we're going to be back next week-ish.
Yep.
Ish. So, some point to talk about Xenogears. Mm-hmm. And we will then, if it hasn't already been revealed, also reveal the result of the vote. And then in October, we'll be playing one of these four.
Yeah. I'll be using that as an excuse to get my PS2 set up to play dodgy copies of games. So I have one of those magical memory cards you can get.
Yeah, I haven't. I've never set it up.
No, me neither. It's here in the little baggie somewhere.
I think we got
it at
the same time, didn't we?
Yeah.
I've got mine exactly next to me. So funny. So we'll see. Anyway, mate, shout outs before we sign off.
Shout outs to Carl of the Video Game Newsroom Time Machine. I've been there 3-4 times now, hosting with him. That's been good fun. Actually, did I mention? I don't remember if I mentioned this already, but somebody actually sang a song for me on Carl's show.
Did they? Mm,
you know.
What, another guest?
No, Ethan. Ethan, he does the corrections. So whenever a new episode comes out, then the last episode from that, from the month before in that year, he comes with the corrections, that the stuff that Carl got wrong, because Ethan, he's really knowledgeable about this, the history of the game industry. So he corrects lots and lots of stuff. And he's got this thing called the Peter comment. Peter is the normal co-host. And he'll always say that in a funny way, like sing the Peter comment or whatever. And I mentioned on one of the episodes where I was on that I really hoped he would do something special when he had to say the mask comment instead. And then he played guitar and sang me a song. So that was great.
Nice. How did it go?
Oh, I'm not going to try to do it here, mate.
So are you a regular now over there? Are you officially part of the crew?
No. I'm just hosting when Peter is swamped in work.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Yeah, it's a great podcast. People should listen to it. Very good show. Me, shout out to Raushi, of course. Big thank you once again for putting this long list together for us. Shout out to the guys who, like Santa Claus, they've done all their work in 4 weeks and now they're having a hibernation sleep. So we will wake Dean and Steve and Matt from their slumbers. And there is talk of trying to get us all onto an episode at some point.
Yes.
And of course, if you weren't already aware, we're going to be convening an arcade club in just a month's time now.
Yes.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
It's exciting. So on the weekend of the 30th and the 31st of October, we'll be there and with Andy and Jim from Playthrough. Shout out to them as well. And hopefully many of our Discord members, as many as possible. Mm. But the guest of honour, Mr. Christensen himself, Mads, is coming over from Denmark. So it's super exciting for us. And hopefully as many people as possible can come and join us. Really, that's about it, I think.
Yeah. So,
well, mate,
this is great. I'm really looking forward to seeing which of these games win. I really hope Maximo or Contra is going to get the most votes. But right now, Maximo. Pick Maximo. Everybody, just go vote for Maximo.
Well, we shall let battle commence between those four. And Mads, you've got about 40 hours of Xenogears to play in a week. So good luck.
Yeah,
with that.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I'm going to do my very best, mate.
No, mate, you've played enough to have a very meaningful conversation about it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we'll be back for some Xenogears chat. And until then, we will see you next time.
See you later. Bye.
Take care, everyone.
From
Bye-bye.
Now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission, come and hear them go.
Retro Asylum.
Well, only their listeners know.
Retro Asylum.